Welcome to Filling You In, a dental podcast with A-Squared, where dentist entrepreneurs and spouses, Dr. Anushka Gaglani and Dr. Abhishek Nagaraj, welcome industry experts and innovators to explore trends in business practices, patient care, career development, and what it takes to be successful in dentistry.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Filling You In. I'm Dr. Abhishek Nagaraj.
And I'm Dr. Anushka Gaglani, collectively known as A-Squared. We most likely would know about today's guest in any case because of the innovations he's brought to medical education over the last decade as a successful entrepreneur. But we're fortunate to know Dr. Shiv Gaglani personally because he happens to be my brother.
And for those listeners who may not be aware that Anushka and I are married, that makes him my brother-in-law. Family pride aside, Shiv has an amazing record of accomplishment that includes earning undergraduate degrees in engineering and health policy, as well as an MBA from Harvard, shepherding the popular and influential Osmosis Medical Education platform from a startup to a successful exit, and earning a medical degree from Johns Hopkins University.
Throw in Forbes contributor, TEDx speaker, author, triathlete, and you're starting to get the picture. As the founding partner of Ganglia Ventures, Shiv is actively advising founders and investing in companies across fields ranging from mental health care to K-12 education using AI to systems engineering.
We thought unpacking Shiv's story would offer a lot of value to our listeners, and we're looking forward to exploring the insights he gained throughout his journey and learning about his approach to personal and professional fulfillment. We're delighted to have you with us today, Shiv.
It's great to be here with you guys. It's kind of a nice circular moment from one podcast to the other. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And I don't know where to start with you, man. You just had such a fascinating career, you know, well before you even turned 40. We know your backstory, Shiv, but for the benefit of all our listeners, what drew you to the medical field in the first place? Secondly, we also want to know how you started your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, so similar to Anushka, obviously, we share a lot of commonalities, a lot of genes, and our backgrounds too. Our parents were very much the basis for my interest in medicine and obviously Anushka's interest in healthcare and dentistry. Our dad is a retired physician who ran a hospital in South Africa, and we used to follow him to that hospital. Similarly, our mom, Vanita, is a really well-renowned physical therapist who's helped thousands of patients from South Africa to Florida to India, obviously where she trained. And so we also would encounter some of her patients. And I vividly remember in South Africa when we were growing up, first 5 years of my life, and also very early on for Anushka, we would go to my dad's place of work, the hospital near where we lived, and my mom's place of work, which was a school where she helped children who were disabled and often orphaned with conditions like cerebral palsy, and saw the impact that they had on those patients and the family members of those patients if they were around, and the respect they got from having that impact. And that was really motivating. So then when we moved to Florida, the combination of those memories, plus obviously being South Asian, it's kind of in our destiny to be a, you know, some sort of doctor or engineer, most likely, that became a kind of a carrying call for us. And that got me really interested in science fair research, which was the beginning of both my career in medicine and healthcare, and also my beginning in entrepreneurship, to answer your second question, because there's so many commonalities between doing science research in high school and becoming an entrepreneur. For example, in science fair in high school, I was traveling all over the country or world pitching my project, what we had worked on. You're both doing oral presentations for really impressive judges, people who've been scientists for decades, and you're doing written kind of publications also for very impressive people. So your communication skills have to become very good in science fair. And similarly, in entrepreneurship, you're pitching people, investors, teammates, you create a vision. So I could go on and on about how science fair really set me up to be an entrepreneur. And that only, you know, happened in med school. And, you know, obviously we'll get to the Osmosis journey, but that's when I first had my real taste of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I was there. I remember all of this. But as a first-year student at the Hopkins School of Medicine in 2011, what led you and your co-founder, Ryan Hayes, to start down the road of creating what came to be known as Osmosis? And what problem were you trying to solve? And what answer did you develop for it?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously had deep empathy with our customers, which I think is a commonality also in the companies I've invested in since starting Osmosis, finding founders who have a lot of empathy because they themselves are the customer. So we cared deeply about the problem we were facing, which was how do we learn medicine more efficiently? I think one of the first articles we wrote when we were starting Osmosis was, what can medical education learn from Facebook and Netflix? And the thesis of that article was the fact that the tools that we as med students at Hopkins, one of the most prestigious med schools that kind of set the foundation for modern medical education through the Flexner Report in the early 1900s, the tools we were using to learn medicine were so antiquated. They were textbooks. They were, you know, written flashcards. They were like very janky apps like Anki, which is still kind of popular. And we said the tools that our classmates and us are using to socialize, you know, Facebook, Instagram, and to watch TV like Netflix are so much more advanced than the tools that we're using to learn medicine. And we said we could just borrow some of the concepts from these very popular tools, apply them to education in general, but medicine specifically. For example, content recommendations. Like if we know that you're learning about some endocarditis and maybe how dentistry affects endocarditis today, we're going to recommend you a Khan Academy video at the time. It ultimately became an osmosis video that's relevant to you. Or we know your test is coming up. We'll create a study schedule for you that makes it so seamless to kind of study along the way instead of just cramming before the end. So we sort of started pitching around with this idea. And basically the real win as an entrepreneur was that it was a problem that was so deeply important to us and the people we cared about, a lot of our classmates, that even if it didn't become a company, we would be learning a lot about the science of learning and about how to solve problems. So it was win-win. Become a company, obviously had a really great outcome, or don't become a company and we still kind of learn how to learn better and be better students.
Right on. Shiv, I want to talk to you a little bit about how you actualized an idea into a real company, right? I think that's the gold here. And I think our audience would really benefit from that too, because it's one thing to have ideas, right? Ideas are plenty, but how do you take that and actualize that? And how do you hire people and build a business that's viable? Tell us some key lessons that you learned in those early years as you were incubating on this idea that you could kind of bring this tech side to the medical business. And in those early years, tell us some of the challenges that you had building this startup into an actual company.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice because obviously Osmosis and Aereo have had similar trajectories. And so, you know, we obviously have learned a lot from each other over the years. And you guys have both recommended books to me that were essential to Osmosis' growth story, because you've obviously grown Aereo to be a powerhouse in the DSO space and in entrepreneurship in general. One example, I know we'll talk about books probably later, is the Dan Sullivan books like Personality Isn't Permanent and 10x is Better Than 2x and The Gap and the Gain. All those books really had a big effect on me along the way, because as many of the listeners know who have companies or work at startups, it's really a roller coaster and you have to be able to take the wins along the way. For example, with The Gap and the Gain, where, you know, we had many times where like a competitor entered the market, you know, and we were kind of demotivated a bit, but we realized that we had, you know, grown to 50,000 YouTube subscribers. And now I remember when we celebrated, we reached 1 million YouTube subscribers. That was a huge milestone for us. Now we're at like 3.6 million on the Osmosis channel. But some key lessons that I'll share. One is that I think a lot of would-be entrepreneurs, you know, they lose focus. There's the law, I'm sure you heard of Packard's law, which is good companies die more from indigestion, having tried to do too many things, lack of focus, than from starvation, trying to do too few things, having too few opportunities. And so one of the very early lessons in Osmosis was that before we even got to, you know, 1,000 med students or 100,000 in revenue, we were being pulled into these different directions to create Osmosis for law, for K-12 education, even for aviation. And it was way too early. And we decided, you know, we need to just drill down. I vividly remember it was a retreat we had in Washington in November 2016, where I said, look, for 2017, no other fields, U.S. med students, let's get to 10,000 U.S. med students who are subscribers. And that was sort of a big turning point in our trajectory. I sat down with our head of marketing, a wonderful woman, Diana Stanley, and we did it. We knocked her out of the park 2017, and that set the foundation to go from 10,000 subscribers to hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So focus is one. A second, though, is it is good to kind of have an open mind, because, you know, we initially thought that the magic moment of uploading a lecture, we automatically analyze text, recommend content, would draw in all the med students and nursing students. And actually it didn't. We were kind of disappointed. And now it's kind of funny because we were very early on that workflow. That was 2011, 2012. Now with ChatGPT, you can upload a document, it'll create questions, it'll create videos even. It's amazing. We were kind of banging our heads against the wall trying to solve this technical challenge. But ultimately, what the students really cared about was not how cool the tech was. They cared about the content, and they were risk averse and time sensitive. And so that's when we pivoted to say, look, the tech platform is awesome, but we need to go video first. And I sat down with my co-founder, Ryan, our head of product, Heidi, who's wonderful talent as well. And we said, look, we're going to go video first. Let's build out the best video tools to surface this video. We worked with Sam Miller, our director of engineering, to make amazing SEO, SEM for our videos. And I recruited the team that used to run Khan Academy Health and Medicine, the best of whom were people like Tanner Marshall, who's the voice of Osmosis, Kyle Slynn, Vince Wellman. Some of those folks were just amazing. They came through. And so we grew from, you know, zero videos to now thousands of videos. And as I said, millions of subscribers. So it was really effective how we were able to take that lesson of what do our customers actually want? They don't just want a tech solution. They want the content. So focus, knowing your customers, being open-minded to pivot as you go. These are all common lessons I'm sure every entrepreneur has learned along the way.
Yeah, there's some gold right there. Staying focused, focus on content as opposed to the tech. That really resonates.
I like what you said about keeping an open mind, because one of the things is that Abhishek always says is mine's like a parachute. It only works when it's open.
Oh, that's a great. I've actually never heard that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Abhishek and you are full of quotes. I love it.
So Shiv, within a decade, Osmosis grew to become a global learning resource for millions of current and future clinicians, as well as their patients and family members. You touched on it a little bit, but what do you think were the main drivers of such rapid growth?
When I was running the Raiseline podcast and hosting it, we had this person who started Straighter Edge, I think is the company name. His name is Burke Smith. And he said, your timing is perfect if you can stick around long enough. Right. So that really resonated with me, because there are a lot of these moments that come that blow you out of the water. So a lot of people stop and they quit before the compounding worked, right? So like that first year of releasing videos, very slow. We didn't get to like a million subscribers that first year. We, I think, only got to like 10 or 20,000. I'll have to look back at it. But the compounding, adding 1 to 3 videos a week, just doing that diligently for 2-3 years, planted that seed. And then just like, if you look at your Wealthfront account or any investments, the power of compounding, which, you know, we know Einstein said was the 8th wonder of the world, really like got us to go from 50,000 to then 250,000 to 1 million to now 3.5 million. And that's top of the funnel. That's how people learn about Osmosis. Then they go to our main platform to watch videos. So I think like having faith in enjoying the process, and it may not work out. So another kind of art instead of science is like knowing when to quit, when to pivot and when to quit. Because sometimes you just got to do that. And I had other companies that I was involved with, and I knew how to quit them so I could focus on the seed that was growing. So I think that's you know, the quality of our videos, the compounding effect of being disciplined, of releasing content, having the best relationships. You know, I put together this workshop that every Osmosis teammate would go through, and a memo that basically said the product that Osmosis is selling is, of course, health education. We're trying to make the best video health education out there. I think we did that. The other product we're selling is the best relationships. I was very proud of our culture, and we sold the idea of like, when you work with Osmosis, you work with the most caring people who care about you as a customer, who care about you as a teammate, who even care about you as an investor. And that showed up in a lot of different ways. For example, our head of people, Hillary Acer, and our VP of customer success, who I think is still at Osmosis, those were two all-stars who took some ideas we had about how to live by our values and how to make it the friendliest place and team to work with, and really scale that out in an authentic way.
Anushka and I can certainly vouch for your discipline. And I know you burned the midnight oil to grow this company, but you also had the knack to surround yourself with the right people, right? Like, let's face it, that's crucial in order to grow a business to the size that you grew it to with millions of subscribers. I want to change gears here just a little bit. You know, after successfully exiting Osmosis, you actually decided to return to medical school, to Johns Hopkins, to complete your MD, which you just finished a few months ago. What was that like, being a student again after you'd been a CEO and having been responsible for so many people?
Yeah, I mean, it was very tough. I mean, some of those days in the hospital, you guys heard, were just very long, and I would complain and be like, why did I do this? Obviously, it wasn't just what's on LinkedIn. And I'm very authentic. I'll share exactly how it was like. I was like, why am I doing this? But the same thing goes for like a triathlon. when you're doing like, mile 23, or if you're marathon at the very end of the triathlon, oftentimes those thoughts come up, like, why am I doing this? But like you don't let them really pervade because the goal is so strong. And so, I wrote that Forbes article before I went back to med school, kind of articulating the reasons I was going back. And I wrote that for myself, but then obviously published it because I often hear from people at various stages in their healthcare profession journey and whether they need to leave to start a company or, whether they're making the wrong decision. So I often like want to build in public and share my thought process. And, I just had a big enough why to go through it that it didn't occur to me to quit. I think the hardest thing, actually reframing the pain as benefit is like a key lesson, I think, in entrepreneurship. And you guys do this all the time, oftentimes better than I can, because my tolerance for pain has gone down in some ways, especially with people issues. But the reframe, I called it, was the two Fs framework, which is fear and frustration. These two emotions are very powerful. And so I had a lot of fear going back to med school, and that was validated because I was, older than most of the students, not the oldest, there were other older students. And I felt like, some people, hey, you're the osmosis guy, like, don't you know everything? I did not know everything. I was the osmosis business guy. And so there were a lot of times I just felt like an idiot. And, placing my first Foley catheter in the OR, fumbling around, like feeling like an idiot, and anyone going through that process feels that way. And so anyways, can you turn fear, that emotion, into growth? On the opposite side of fear is growth. And that's what Eleanor Roosevelt said, which is do something every day that scares you. And that's how you grow, right? You get a little out of your comfort zone. The other one is frustration. I knew going back to med school, I'd be super frustrated. Why are we doing things the way we're doing them? That's essentially what building osmosis was. When I came back, they were using some osmosis videos, but for the most part, there were a lot of lectures. There's a lot of wasted time. Why are we not using AI fast enough to broaden our differential? Like all these things, but turning that emotion of frustration into opportunity is, I think, another reframe, which I knew would happen in med school. So I left med school with a whole list of products and services that I'm interested in finding and investing in or building myself or with the team. So basically that was the why, the North Star, and obviously working with amazing doctors and patients. And you guys were at my graduation party and you met many of the physicians, med students, patients who I encountered who left a really lasting mark on me. So I think overall, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go back to med school now. So I'm glad it was kind of one and done.
It's funny. I remember I graduated dental school the year you started med school. And then I remember the white coat ceremony. And like 2 years in, you're like, I'm dropping out to do this company. And mom and dad were like, what? But the success you've built since then. And then when you said you're going, I think, we all kind of pressured you. We're like, go finish it, right? You've already done a couple of years. Finish it up. But when you said something spoke to me, when you said that you went back and you're like, why am I doing this? And it's kind of funny. I called you yesterday because we're starting our MBA and we're doing pre-accounting. And I was like, Shiv, why am I doing this? I don't know how to, like, what is all of it? I don't understand. Like, why are assets like this? And like, so it's kind of funny. We're about to go into what you just came out of.
We have asked Anushka this between yesterday and today, like 3 times. Why are we doing this again?
Well, you guys are quintessential lifelong learners. You're always learning from people. So I know you'll appreciate it. And believe me, having gone through dental school, very hard dental school exams that you guys did and treated patients, MBA is a breeze. Like it's so easy relative to medicine and dental. It's a big party after you get through accounting. So don't worry.
Yeah. So I don't know that there is anybody that I've ever heard of who uses their own product when they're back in school. So you used osmosis to complete your education. How did that stack up from a student's perspective against other learning resources for med students? And did you discover that there's any room for improvement?
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I actually went back too, is I was going to be a product tester myself. And I was very happy to see a lot of things. For example, patients who had a new diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. They go to YouTube, search for pancreatic cancer, boom, osmosis video. That's what I was most excited about, even at the very end of my journey with osmosis, was the effect we were having on patients. It was really about the patients and the families, and then maybe those healthcare students who may have harder times just regurgitating information, but they'll be amazing nurses and doctors and dentists because they have the bedside manner. And fortunately, that proved to be true, where I think a lot of those, like, gunner type, they can get 280s on the step. It's just like, that's not what healthcare is going to be now, let alone like in 5 years with the advent of AI. So that's why I'm very excited to be a free agent investing in the companies, including one that you mentioned, the K-12 education company that's just killing it. They're in the top five iTunes and Google Play Store that has just done an incredible job being AI first, doing a lot of these ideas and really putting the customer first. And I'm excited to implement and refine companies that are doing those ideas moving forward.
Shiv, you mentioned frustration when you were in medical school around delivery of care or things that may have seemed a little more antiquated. Can you maybe touch on specific examples of what those things are that you kind of identified? And without giving away too much of what ideas you're incubating on, what new ideas did you essentially get from seeing those problems?
Well, I think obviously like one of the main reasons I got interested in education and preventive healthcare in general was the fact that so much of our care that we deliver, even at top tier institutions like Hopkins, is reactive. And I've been very excited to see there's been such a focus on preventive medicine, longevity medicine. You guys know we had the CEO of Pronuvo on the Raiseline podcast, and then you guys all did Pronuvos, and then you both led the way with Function and got us Function tests. So I think the predictive, proactive healthcare and longevity space are very interesting to me, and there's some companies that I've been working with that I think are doing a good job. Mental health in general has gotten worse, and so with the Raiseline podcast, I had a lot of the mental health leaders, ranging from the head of the NIMH to a lot of the psychedelic researchers on the podcast. I worked a bit with the Hopkins Center for Psychedelic and Consciousness Research. I left, with an investment in one of the psychedelic companies that came out of that I think is doing really great work for patients with cancer, terminal cancer, and end-of-life care. Those are just a couple examples. I'm very interested in aging in place, aging at home. One of the biggest collaborations we made during the golden years of Osmosis was a partnership with the Hopkins School of Nursing and this wonderful program called Capable, which was all about how do we get elderly patients to age in place instead of going to a nursing home or a SNF where maybe they get exposed to worse things like C. diff or other issues. And they do great work. And so I'm very excited about how does that scale? How do we get at-home health for an aging demographic of patients who need mobility assistance, fall assistance, medication assistance. So that's a deep area of interest. Yeah, those are some of the ideas that I think resonated most that have been taking with me since med school.
Really great.
I know, one of the things, Shiv, you had said, like in med school, like I need a break after this, right? But again, just yesterday, you're like, well, I've gotten my break for 2 months. Now what? So where does the energy come from?
Yeah, I think the reasons have changed, just being fully open, which I hope everyone is, about those reasons. Like, I think before we were successful with Osmosis, I think there was that deeper inner voice of like, you've got to be successful. That means, financially successful and prestige and all these things that do matter, right? Especially financial success, because if you have enough money, you can, pay for problems, a lot of problems to go away, not all problems, but there's a baseline. Obviously, if you have a lot of money, too much money, then like more problems will occur. So I think there was that famous Mo Money, Mo Problems song that I'm sure everyone has heard, which is true. We see it play out.
I think Beethoven sang that.
Yeah. It was originally Beethoven and remixed by, I think, Biggie Smalls. Yeah, exactly. But I think the motivations have changed because now the financial stuff, the prestige stuff is not, having gone through it, it's not, I'm grateful for it, but it isn't the main driver. And fortunately, the big driver so far, even the idea I was telling you about a bit yesterday, Anushka, was two things. One, the most important, is it a problem that I, my loved ones face, right? Like it's deep customer empathy, because ultimately if you latch onto a problem that even if it becomes nothing, right? Just the fact that you're doing research on it, that you're meeting people who've made progress in it, that is enough, right? That's what we're meant to solve. We're meant to solve problems. And that's where I get a lot of joy, is coming up with those ideas, creative ideas to solve real problems. So that's the number one thing. But then number two, and that's also very important, is the people. Like, can you work with people on this who you really like? And again, like golden years of anything, whether it's med school, Osmosis, got to choose exactly who I worked with, how I worked with them. The best people, the people who are self-motivated, accountable, Again, people like the ones I mentioned, you know, Michelle, who I think works with you guys now, you know, helping with the podcast, among other things.
She's great.
Hillary, Lindsay, Diana, Heidi, Caleb, like some of the best people I've gotten to meet and work with over the years. And I think that's the second big piece of solving problems is like, it's very lonely to solve problems alone and you can't, you need a team mostly. Obviously now with AI, you need maybe a smaller team, which I think could be, could be beneficial because then you can just really choose the people around you.
Absolutely. You know, I think the world needs more people like you who are just not here just for the win, but are also here for the process and to handle, tackle the problem. So that really resonated with me. I also know Shiv personally, having known you for so many years. You're a big reader, a constant learner, and our audience may not know that you're also a two-time Ironman and a really good triathlete. What are some books or other resources that you can recommend to our listeners and that have made an impact on your personal and professional journeys? I know you said some of Dan Sullivan's book. Anything else?
Yeah, again, the books you guys have sent me along the way have been very influential. I would also say, you know, for Osmosis's journey, some of the books that come to mind, the business books that made a huge impact on our journey were Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, about putting people and customers first. The Hard Thing About Hard Things from Ben Horowitz, which was all about how to scale a company through very big ups and downs. Creativity Inc. from Pixar's founder, also a really effective book. Those are business books. The personal books include The Courage to Be Disliked, which is like a nice Socratic book. Very helpful. I have a lot of problems with that, but like that's a good book that should be on the reading list. And then a lot of the Stoic books, you know, Ryan Holiday books, you know, The Obstacle is the Way, his daily Stoic newsletter, all of those were really helpful. Reframing things and going through hard things, again, turning obstacles into the path. So those are ones that come to mind. And then I have enjoyed podcasts more lately. I like the Chris Williamson podcasts, specifically with guests like Naval Ravikant. His book, The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, was extremely good.
Really good.
And he has an associated podcast. I highly recommend that to everyone. Very clear thinker and very successful person as well. So yeah, those are a couple of the books I would say, and books and podcasts that have had the most effect on my perspectives.
Thanks for that.
One other book I'd add though is Anushka actually wrote a children's book. I'll plug that, called The House That Threw Up, which is, you know, it's a children's book, but I read it and it's very much how she lives and how, you know, she's taught me to live, which is minimalist, keeping your house clean. Because ultimately, if you have like a cluttered house and it's all gross, that kind of pervades into your mind. So I'll put a plug in for her book. And while I'm plugging books, our mom has written several books on incontinence and healthcare. I have not directly benefited from those books. I hope to never need to benefit from books about prostatectomies and how to regain your continence. But those have helped a lot of people. And the process of helping her write those books was really meaningful too.
You know, there's no pressure at all being around such a talented family. This is what keeps me going all the time.
Iron sharpens iron, right?
That's right.
So, Shiv, we're going to hop in a lightning round. Number one, what was your last impulse buy?
I bought these pallets or like for calisthenics type work.
Of course you did. Number two, what are the least likely three words someone would use to describe you?
I think lazy, even though I am actually pretty lazy. That's what a lot of entrepreneurs are. A lot of people think entrepreneurs aren't lazy, but because we're so lazy, we want to solve the problem and not have to deal with it, right? Find a shortcut. So people wouldn't say I'm lazy, but I'm pretty lazy. Number two would be disloyal. Like I'm very loyal to people who are values driven and values aligned. Extremely loyal, maybe to a fault often. And three, let's see. I think people would also say dumb. Like I'm not dumb, but I feel very dumb. And if you just saw me in med school, I was actually very dumb. And so people would say, just based on pedigree, they put people on pedestals just where they went. I mean, it was in the intro, but like I've met a lot of dumb people at Harvard and I would count myself as one of those in many areas. So dumb. I think all of us are a little dumb. And I think just embracing how dumb we are, I think is a good step.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would agree. Again, accounting. So what is your go-to karaoke song?
I like Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind. They're one of my favorite bands. And Anushka and I first got a CD. I think one of our first CDs ever was 107.1 in Melbourne, Florida. The guy gave us that Third Eye Blind CD.
I remember.
It was awesome. It's one of my favorite bands. I've seen them 3 times live. I'm just going to see them a fourth time live next month. And it's a very meaningful song, actually. So I highly recommend listening to it.
Yeah. I remember when we got that CD, actually, it was, like you said, 107.1, and they were giving out CDs. And he said, what do you want? And I think I was 11. And I think I said the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he kind of just looked at me and said, here's Third Eye Blind. Kind of funny, right? Like, mom and dad had no idea about American music. So they had no idea that that was not appropriate for an 11-year-old.
I mean, Semi Charm Life, a lot of people don't know this, but it's about drug use in San Francisco. So I knew this because when I finally did karaoke to it, beyond the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, I like learned the lyrics. And the lyrics are actually, they're very poetic, but also kind of dark.
Yeah.
Same with Goo Goo Dolls, if people know that. Slide sounds like a very happy song. Black Balloon's a very interesting song. Both of those are about very heavy topics, you know, abortion and also drug use, respectively. But they're amazing songs. And, you know, I really... really love those artists. So
yeah, you definitely ruined Semi Charmed Life for me a few months ago when you told me what it was actually about. So, well, if you put it to happy music, it's fine, right?
We'll do some karaoke in Chicago.
You've got it.
Yeah, for sure.
Got it. After that, especially after you broke out into that little song, like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do Beethoven, More Money, More Problems when you...
Yeah. Let's start with that.
Anyway, Shiv, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been honestly a lot of fun. And I actually can't say that I didn't learn anything new about you. I actually did today. So this is wonderful. And keep up all the great things that you're doing. Keep being a force for good in the world. And the difference between knowledge and wisdom is application. And you sure know how to apply yourself. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. I've learned a lot from you, and congratulations on everything you've done with Aereo and filling you in. Thanks again for having me.
I'm Dr. Abhishek Nagaraj.
And I'm Dr. Anushka Gulani. Thanks for checking out today's show, and we hope you can join us again next time.
If you like this podcast, please share it on your social channels and visit Aereo Dental Group on LinkedIn or on Instagram at Aereo Dental Group. You can also subscribe to the series and check out all of our episodes at aereodental.com/podcast.